Morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We're so glad to see you at the Lord's house, and we are missing a few of our folks here this morning, and we're certainly saddened by that, but we're so glad that you're here, and glad to see you, glad that you're here in the Lord's house, and it's encouraging to see you folks at the busy times, and there's some other things that you could have been doing this morning, this day, but you've taken time to come to honor God and to worship and to encourage one another. We hope and pray that you're encouraged, that you'll be strengthened as we worship together this great God and Lord we have. I want to share a few words here from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee into Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled and at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou that conceived in thy womb and bringeth forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Son of God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing that which was born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. That's who we want to worship today, the Son of God, as we come together.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think everybody knows the situation with Omer. Keep him in a prayer that he'll be back with us soon, hope. Michael called me yesterday. He's my backup to lead song service, and he's gone to Church of Chastity, and I gave him my blessing to do that. So that leaves us. Cuts it down. I was going to ask Robert to do it. He's worse than I am. So let's begin the service in this morning with a hymn of worship with 117 verses 1 and 4.
God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can be here this day, this time, that it is a joy to come together with the church family. It is just a real joy, Heavenly Father, to recognize you and to realize that you're the giver of all good and perfect gifts, and you've given us good gifts this week, and you've provided for us in a good way. You've helped us, Heavenly Father, and we praise you for that and thank you for that. We come this morning also, Heavenly Father, recognizing we have several people absent because of illnesses, Heavenly Father. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that your blessing would be upon them, that your healing hand would be with them, that, Heavenly Father, they'll be strengthened, they'll be back to good health, and be back with us. We pray, Heavenly Father, you'll comfort them in their doings. Now, Heavenly Father, for each one present here this morning, we thank you for their faith. We thank you for their love they have for you. We thank you for the desire that they have to come together and to praise you and to honor you and give thanks to you. And also, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Also, we come asking, Heavenly Father, that you would look into our lives, and you know more about our lives than we really know ourselves. that you will help us, Heavenly Father, to make decisions which is right and good. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do those things which are proper in your sight. Help us to do those things that are good for our fellow man and those around us. And now, Heavenly Father, just help us to rejoice together in Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Communion hymn would be 160, verses 1 and 5. 160, 1 and 5.
Once again, it's so good to see you folks in the Lord's house. It's just really encouraging to see so many who just love the Lord and desire to have him work in their life. And you want to bless him and thank him and praise him for that. We're welcome, welcome, welcome. Want to say thank you, folks, for the last Sunday, the presentation the choir had here for us was great. And we had a great fellowship dinner. It was just a great day, and we thank everybody for participating in that. And I look back here at Paula Faye, as we mentioned last week, was she was planning on being here last week, but she wasn't, didn't make it. She's here today. And not only is she, but she has her niece and husband with them today, which brings back a lot of memories from back when that family many years ago. We're glad to have you. And along with that, we have Ron and Tina's family here, extended family over here, visiting with them. We're glad to have you with us. And, that isn't. I'll take it. I don't see too good, yeah. My glasses don't look too good out there. Boy, another week or so, I'll have my new glasses, so I'll be able to see. Well, we welcome each and every one of you this morning. I want to share with you a couple of cards we have here. And Merry Christmas comes to the church family here. It says, may your spirit be filled with blessings, peace, and Christmas always. Merry Christmas. Love, Aline Chowning. And we remember that family from way back, and a great remembrance of them. And then also from Paula Fay here, and she gave this to me last week, and I didn't read it because I saved it for this day today. And so she says to us, hope this Christmas season all is well, and after hearing and coming New Year, this will treat us well. Love to each family. Merry Christmas, Paula Fay. And so thank you, folks, for your greetings, and we wish each and every one of you a merry, merry, happy, merry Christmas. Let's see, as we look on our list here, we don't have anything coming up this week. There are some activities taking place in the community and around Georgetown and various places that you might want to be a part of that. Please, if you have the opportunity to do that, share in the good things that are taking place. We move over to our prayer list this morning, and our prayer list has grown quite largely here recently. And we want to just pray and pray and for each and every one of these people. And we have some folks on here that we know are doing better, and we're proud of that. Virgil's been able to be here now. And he got his shot, and things are looking up for him. And Vernon's here. He got had some tests this week. We have several people that have some tests, and they're waiting for results. So we just pray that those results will be good, that they'll be able to work out whatever difficulties there is. And Omer is absent from this morning. He had to spend a couple of days, 3 days in hospital last week, and now he's just not feeling up to par. Maxine is not here. She was sick a couple of days this week early, and then she just wasn't able to eat and so forth, and she just weakened down, and she got up and was sure last night that she would be able to come, feeling good yesterday, but she just was weak, and she decided not to come today. And who else? And we're glad to we miss Omer up here, but glad that this guy Doodle's able to be up here. The last few weeks we've been seeing him push his stroller around, and so he's got rid of that. Praise the Lord that he was at the doctor and said he was, and the doctor gave him permission to do that. He took permission the first time. The doctor got after him for that, but now the doctor's giving him permission to do without that. And good. We just pray that things will work well for you and go well for you. Each and every one of you, we just pray that the Lord will bless you with strength and health, and through this holiday season, you'll be well and just be able to enjoy and rejoice in the good things that God is doing for us. But on the other side, we have a lot of folks on our prayer list, and I won't go down this list. I'm just going to tell you to look at those. We have mentioned every one of these. We have told you about the needs and so forth, and we want you to pray for individual needs of these folks here, and God's blessing be upon them. Pray for our service people who are away from home during this holiday season. Pray for the leaders of our nation and the things that are taking place. And yes, our nation's in a mess and so forth, and we need God to intervene and so forth. But God has things under, he knows what's going on, and God will work good things for his people. You just keep on having faith and keep on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and our mighty God, and things will be good for you. We know the circumstances around us sometimes are terrible, but keep looking up to God, and God is good, and he'll certainly bless us for it. So as we come together, remember those who are not able to be with us. Pauline isn't here this morning. Mr. Yes, sir. And
I have one thing that I left off.
Okay.
And my dear cousin, Joanne Lyons, has a birthday on the 26th. And I left it out of the bulletin.
Okay, Doodle, if you need to respond to that, respond.
That's fine. Joanne's got a birthday on the 26th. We forgot to put that in there. Said she's 26.
Yeah, we said last week, boy, she just missed a day of being a Christmas baby. And happy birthday on the day after Christmas for you. Okay. And anything else we need to share? All right. As we come then to our prayer time, we're so very thankful. And we look out here and see how God has blessed you people. And we know we have difficulties. We know that we have things happen to these physical bodies and so forth from time to time. And I can look out and see about just about everybody here has had a difficulty of some kind or another in the last year or so. And God has worked them out for us. We have some folks that have difficulties right now that's not with us. And we know, and we're praying, and we're praising God, and they'll be back with us. We know that God will work them out, things out for good. So let's thank Him for it, and let's take our petitions to God at this time.
Vernon, don't you say nothing about my stroke. Okay, prayer hymn would be 121, verses 1 and 4, and Chap will have a prayer for us. Please stand. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Come with
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Thank you so very much. I had a dream Thursday night, and I'll be sharing that with you in the next few weeks, but I've got to tell you this, that and I was really searching for an illustration I wanted to use today, and I went back a long time back to get it. And I guess because of that, it promoted this dream. And we were in New Orleans. I was invited, you know, believe this or not, but I was invited to speak at the Christian convention in New Orleans. And our choir was furnishing music. And they just blew them away. I mean, if you could have seen that, I tell you, it was something. It was something. Those good dreams we have. All right, this morning, usually we go back to Matthew or Luke and talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus, but I decided not to do that this morning. I wanted to share with you some thoughts that hopefully will be encouragement to you. And it's about the Lord Jesus, that's for sure. But the Lord Jesus, as we see him there laying in the manger and in the stable and so forth, but he's growing up now, and I would like for us to get, yeah, we want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but I would like to have foremost in our minds the vision of Jesus, who he grew up to be, the Savior that he really is, and what he has done for us. Yay. And so the babe in the manger, we find here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, which reads like this. And from Jesus Christ, whom is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. This is the Christ child that we celebrate his birthday now. This is Jesus that is John is writing about here this morning. Since the beginning of time, it has been estimated that there's 108 trillion people been born. Out of that 108 trillion people that have been born, there is only one who was born to save the world from their sins, and that is Jesus, the Lord, the very Son of God. One out of 180 trillion born, one of those was born to save the rest of the world. And so there are three questions I wanted to first to consider this morning. He who has loved us and washed us and cleansed us with his blood, and we know where that took place on Calvary. And we know where we contact that blood is in the baptismal pool when we die with Christ. But this one who has loved us, I want to kind of concentrate on that and ask three questions. And this first question is this. Can he who has loved us, can we trust him? We sing those hymns, trust and obey. But many have questions. Can we trust him? This babe that was born in a manger, Bethlehem, grew up and went to the cross, rose from the grave. Can we trust him? A few weeks ago, Michael and I were out calling. And we were called on several people up and down the road here. And one fellow we called on and he said, you know, he said, I just can't trust anybody anymore. And we tried to encourage him that, yeah, come to the church. You can trust Jesus. You can trust his people. But there are people that just say they can't trust anybody. In a time when it seems we can't trust the political leaders, the political leaders of America, we have a tremendous distrust for what's taking place. And not only that, it's been proven that we can't trust the leaders of foreign nations. And actually, we're living in a time when it just is hard to trust anybody, I have to admit. Even some of the people that are close to us. The man and the woman of this generation, they have heard the name of Jesus so much. They've heard the name of Jesus so many times that they have heard so many different things about Jesus. Their biggest question is, can I trust him? You know, the world of religious charlatans, that is preachers, who have used or misused religion, especially the name of Christ, in a very wrong way, in a terrible way. They have used this name to con many people out of their hard-earned, much-needed money. And that is a cause of many people saying they don't trust Jesus because he has been given a bad name by a group of charlatans out there. That's been the cause for them to not trust Jesus. But I say to them, if they would only take this Bible, take their Bible, and go to the four Gospels here and read what Jesus says, and most of your Bibles has what Jesus says in red letters, so it's easy to do. If you'll just read what Jesus says, take serious and look at it for what it is and give thought to what is said there, you will come away saying, I can trust him. I can trust him. I can trust him. A witness is someone who tells the truth. A witness is one who tells what he or she has seen or heard. Jesus is spoken of as the truth. And as this verse says, he is the witness. He is a faithful witness. And so what Jesus has told you about God, you can take it to the bank, pardon the expression. You can trust him for it. He is a faithful witness to what God has in store for you and for me. Revelation 1:5, the writer John tells us that Jesus is that we can rely upon for truth. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. John says, when Jesus speaks, he speaks the truth. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the truth. Right before that, he says, I am the way and the truth. And he talks about the truth. We have said before, all truth is compassed in Jesus Christ. And what he says is true. And yes, to answer that question, can we trust him? Yes, we can trust him. Now, the second question that I have that I'd like first consider this morning is this. Well, let me back up a little bit because I want to get to this illustration I told you about. That the Bible tells us, and I read in Timothy where Paul is writing to Timothy, and he is telling Timothy, and he is warning him to not be a part of the people who are teaching you can't trust Jesus, and which they are. There's people that was against Paul's teaching and told the people that Jesus, he's telling you wrong about Jesus. But Paul tells Timothy here to not be a part about them, warning them of things not to be a part of. And he speaks of Jesus, and he said, when he went before Pontius Pilate, he made good confession there saying, I came into the world to testify of the truth. If there's anybody that has come into this world that you can trust and believe, it is Jesus Christ himself. Everyone on the side of truth, he says, listens to me, Jesus says. John is saying that Jesus is supreme truth. Each person has to deal with that for themselves. Each person has to look at that for himself or herself and say and ask the question, can I trust him? I hope that this morning that you, along with the others here this morning, can say, I can trust him. Because I stand here before you and read from this book, and he is the faithful witness that we can believe and we can trust. We can trust Jesus. I read many years ago, Bob Harrington, you folks might have known something of him many years ago. Bob Harrington was known as the chaplain of Bourbon Street, and that's what got me to New Orleans. And he was chaplain of Bourbon Street. But sad story about Bob Harrington, because he really went big and he went to the gutter and then he did come back. But what I want to say is this. He took up with, I don't say he took up with her, but he opposed Madeline O'Hara. And if you remember back in the 60s and 70s, Bob Harrington went across the nation and challenging Madeline O'Hara. They were on the Phil Donahue show, the night show, and all the talk shows and so forth, and they would discuss. And one time they were in a large school auditorium, and they were giving their side, and somebody spoke up and asked Madeline O'Hara, said, what are you going to say when Jesus comes? And she very boldly said, I won't have to say anything because that's not going to happen. Bob Harrington said then, the Bible says there's 318 verses in the Bible that speaks of the coming of Jesus. And he says these 318 verses in this Bible, in God's Word, says that Jesus is coming. And here is the book of Madeline O'Hara over here says, one verse says he's not. Now, who do you believe? Who do you trust? We trust the one who said he's coming, don't we? He's coming. And let's assume that you aren't sure of what to believe or what to believe. I challenge you to take time to read the Gospels, and you will come away believing. Second thing is, you know, if then we know, and we do trust Jesus, we say we can trust him. Does he have the power to help me? Does he have the power to help me? We see a lot of people saying, where is Jesus in this situation? I need his help. As we come to the conclusion that he truly can be trusted, and we ask the question, can he help me? We can look at his life of Jesus and his ministry, and we can find very truly there whether he can help us or not. He ministered to people everywhere he went. We see great groups of people coming to Jesus, and he says that they brought their sick and afflicted, and he healed them all. Jesus often approached great groups of people, and he never hesitated to help anyone that was in need. Matthew 5:25, and there was a woman from Canaan that came to Jesus and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. My daughter, grievously vexed with a demon. And Jesus answered her and said, By thy faith, thy daughter is healed. And she said that minute that her daughter was made whole from that time. From that hour. Mark 6:22-23, Jesus was going near Bethsaida, and you remember there was there a blind man who cried out, Bartimaeus, he said, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus took him by the hand, and he could see. John 4:47, a man came to Jesus asking him to help for his son was near death. And Jesus just simply told him to go, that his son would leave. And when he was getting close to home, his servants come running to him and said, hey, the son liveth. And he asked him what time he liveth. And he told him what time it was, the time that Jesus talked to Jesus before. Does Jesus help? Can he help? Has he got the power to help? What's the scripture say? Oh, yeah, I say he does. But folks, the question comes, you know, and in the scripture we have people crying out. When Jesus was on the cross, when he was dying for you and I, when he was shedding his blood that washes our sins and cleanses us from our sins, when he was that fast, there was cruel people that said, oh, he helped others, he can't help himself. He said he saved others, he can't save himself. But friends, that's the reason he was on that cross. That's why he went to that death sacrifice for you and for me, to help us. We really needed help, and he was helping us like never helping before on that cross. And John says he could do that because he was the firstborn of the dead. This speaks of the resurrection of the dead. This is Jesus in the first person. He rose from the dead, and he never, oh yeah, he raised people from the dead. He raised what? Naaman's, the lady at Naaman, son. And the one that we know real well is Lazarus, been dead for 4 days, and he just said, come forth, and he came forth. But they died. They was rose from the dead, but they died again. But John says, this Jesus has died and rose again, never to die again, because the scripture, he ever liveth for you and for me. He intercedes for you and me. He's helping us day by day. He's helping us with the difficulties we have day by day. Yea, he can help us. Our faith rests on the fact that God, whereby he raised Jesus from the dead, if God can do that, and which he did, it's not if he could, he did raise him from the dead, he can help you with whatever situation you're in. He can take that. Yeah, does Jesus have the power to help you? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He is the firstborn from the dead. And then the third and last question I'd like for us to consider this morning. Yeah, can we trust Jesus? Yeah, we trust Jesus. Can he help, really help us? Yes, he can help us. Can he take care of my future? Now, I think that's on a lot of people's mind. I think that's on a lot of people's mind. This way, this babe that clutched the finger of Mary in that stable is the same hand that was nailed to the cross. And truly he can help us. And we'll look and see. Can he take care of my future? I could answer that real quick, couldn't you, with just three words. He already has. He already has. But there's a lot of people question that. Oh yeah, I believe Jesus. I believe he can help us. But can he help us in the future? I mean in eternity. After this life. Now I come to trust Jesus. I believe in him. I believe in the power to help him. And I'm faced with this life question, the third question. Now I consider, can he take care of my future? And John gives us the answer. He calls Jesus the ruler of the kings. That's what he says here. He's a prince of the kings of the earth. Jesus is the ruler. As we consider the world ruler, that means, you know, that's authority. He who rules has authority. And kings rule over the earth. And John says that Jesus has rule over the kings of the earth. That Jesus, much, much more than the kings of the earth. And Jesus has authority over the kings, over the rulers of the earth. They are mighty, but Jesus is much more mightier than they are. Let's think about it this way. And as I said before, no political things. It's just an illustration that I think that makes a little bit of sense. Think about it this way. If Donald Trump would say to Jesus, how can you be the ruler over me? I have my office by election of the people of the United States, a sovereign nation, and a virtue of constitutional inauguration and installation. How can you rule over me? Here's what Jesus would say to him. I have my office and rule over you by God's election, and my virtue of my resurrection, and from the dead, and my indestructible life. and my installation at the right hand of God. Jesus has authority over the kings. Now that would go for all the Bushes, and that would go for the Clintons, and that would go for Barack Obama also. That would go for whoever would occupy the White House that we have. Yea, God has rule over them. Can he take care of our future? Sure. Jesus is the ruler over all the rulers of the earth. There are some who rule big and some who rule small, but Jesus rules over them all. You might say, well, Brother Benny, let's get serious. Just look at the world. Look at all that's taken place. Let us look at America with all the crime, with the pornography that's taken place, with all the criminal activity. It goes free. There's millions made with the drug cartel. In the abortion clinics, a terrible thing of killing little babies, even when they're fresh out of the womb. And the politicians that make laws and don't abide by them by themselves, they break them. Can you see the world's in a terrible mess? Oh, yes. You know, and if you look at America, it wouldn't take much of a lawyer to say that that Satan is ruling over the kings of the earth. But the scripture says that God, that Satan only has the power that God gives him. That God, you know, even though it looks like that Satan's having a heyday, if it looks like he is ruling, if it looks like he's really tearing things up and he's making a hair trade, we must remember that the scripture teaches us that he only has the rule that God gives him. And this scripture here says of this babe that's born in Bethlehem in that manger, grew up and walked among men, died on the cross, rose from the grave. He rules over all the kings of the earth. Amen. Yes, friend, our nation is in a bad mess. God has appointed the time. And that time could be very near. That the Lord Jesus will come back. Will come back. He's got a time appointed. Jesus said he did. Jesus said he didn't know, but he said that only the Father knows. It could be today, it could be tomorrow. We don't know. It could be another 1,000 years, but God has appointed a time that Jesus will come. And the one that Pilate wrote of when he hung, Jesus hanging on a cross, and Pilate wrote on the slab and put up there, he said, King of the Jews, he's coming. King of the Jews, King of the world. He's a King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's coming. And all the wrongs will be made right then. All the wrongs will be made right then. The hand that was nailed to the cross one day will be the hand that will divide the righteous from the unrighteous. As Jesus said himself, for the goats from the sheep. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on the sheep side. I want to be on the sheep side. Then cometh the end. 1 Corinthians 15 and 24 says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Jesus is coming one day, coming for those who believe, those who call his own. He's going to gather them up, and he's going to deliver them to the throne of God. Them God's people. You who have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are God's people. And he's going to gather you up and take you and deliver you right before the throne of God. There cometh the end when they shall deliver up the kingdom to God the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and authority over all things. And taken his people out of this world in the world to come. My future, can I trust him? He's got power to help me. And yea, he will take me into the future. May I ask you this morning, are you trusting Jesus? You know, some of you folks, and I agree with you, some of you folks probably say, well, that's kind of a silly question. Can you trust Jesus? But you know, there's a lot of people who don't trust Jesus. And it's kind of a silly question. Can Jesus help me? And I look out here and see how Jesus has helped you people. And you say, why, Benny, why would you ask this? You know, there's many people that don't believe Jesus can help them. There are millions of people that do not believe that Jesus can help them. There are people that are in the gutter today that could get out, but they don't believe Jesus can help them. There's people drugged out that don't believe Jesus can help them. But he can if they only come to know him. If they only come to trust him, they could get help and they would have hope. And that's what we have, is that we trust Jesus. He helps us. And yea, we have hope. So may I ask you, are you trusting Jesus? Is Jesus helping you? Is Jesus taking care of your future? If not, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And you can come and say to Jesus, yes. If not, if you're not sure, you can come and say, I want you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you. I need your help. And I want a future with you. How about you? Where do you stand with Jesus today? This babe that was born in Bethlehem in a stable, lay in a manger, rose and walked with men, died on a cruel cross, rose from the dead. He's here to help you. Yes, amen. First verse only as we stand and sing. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. It's really encouraging, and I know it's a busy time of the year, and I know you could have been other places doing other things, but how encouraging it is that you have come seeking the Lord and praising him. And Marianne, I'm sorry that I mistook you. Marianne hasn't been here for quite some time. Usually, a lot of times, Ron and Tina's folks coming up, I just didn't see good. And Marianne, it's good to see you. It's good to have you here today. Long time we haven't seen you. Good to see everybody. May each and every one of you have a great week with family. May you have a safe week, and may Jesus bless you like he's never blessed you before, because you seek him who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, the Son of God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful for people that are standing here together. What an encouragement it is to one another, Heavenly Father, to know that we can trust Jesus, that he can help us, and he's made possible for that future for us, all because you loved us, and he was willing to come and die on Calvary's cross for us. Let us never forget that. As we go through this Christmas season, we celebrate the birth. Let us see that Christ child there in that manger, but Almighty God, let us see that man on the cross that he come to be, our Savior, our Lord, King of kings. Oh Lord, help us to see and exalt him and praise him. Now we ask for each and every one present here as we leave that you would grant them a safe week, grant them a joyful week, help them to enjoy the things that you have in store for them like they've never been enjoyed before, because they seek Jesus, in whose name we praise you and thank you. Amen. Amen.